It's Thursday, the 17th of March, 2016. Happy birthday to Kyle Korver, Terry Rozier, and Thomas Robinson. Basketball Monster Show, brought to you by Moneyball.com.au and Tom Ben Amatai. My name is Josh Lloyd, and if you would be a sponsor of the podcast like Tom Ben Amatai, all you need to do is leave a review on iTunes and you can support the podcast and be a sponsor for one day. It's awesome when you do that, and thank you very much. Also, thanks to Moneyball. They are Australia's best daily fantasy sports site, so if you're living in Australia or you're lucky enough to live in New Zealand as well, make sure you're jumping on Moneyball and playing all the DFS tournaments that are over there, not just for basketball, but for any other sport that tickles your fancy. A lot to cover, as usual, on the show. Do my best to keep them relatively short. There's always so much happening, and fantasy playoffs time, there's lots of information and lots of resting and injuries and all that sort of good stuff happening at the moment. We're a really busy Thursday as well. We don't have the standard four game Thursday coming up. I think we've got 8 games on Thursday, so there's a lot to get to. So I'll stop blabbering.
Let's get to it.
I like the advice, Michael. Let's start off with the Instagram contest of the day. That was Darren Williams, combined points, assists, and steals. And Darren was terrible. He had 10, and nobody got that correct, unsurprisingly. On Facebook, we were looking at Rudy Gay, and he wasn't that great either. We're looking at points, rebounds, assists, and steals combined, and the total that Rudy got was 21, and nobody got that one correct either. So both are prizes jackpot for Thursday. If you're following on Instagram, which is at redrock_bball, look for the post, and we're looking at Isaiah Cannon, and that is how many combined points and steals will Cannon have on Thursday? On Facebook, we're looking at one of the podcast's favorite guys, Gaz Harris from the Denver Nuggets. How many combined points, assists, and steals will Gazza have? So make sure you leave your answer on either Instagram or Facebook, or preferably both, and get yourself a shout out on the podcast for tomorrow. I want to get some feedback. Yesterday, I did a live question as we were doing the show. We're talking about who had had the most triple ones for the season, and people were firing in guesses. Is that something you guys like? Is it something you want me to do occasionally? Just have like a question like that, and as you listen to the show, you can tweet in your answers and your guesses. Let me know if it's something that you like, or something that you thought, Josh, that was bullshit. I don't want that happening again. Give me your thoughts on that. Obviously, at Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram, wherever you may find me on any of those social platforms. And as usual, if you are watching along live, tweet at me at redrock_bball, and any questions or clarifications that you need dealt with, we can do that as the show is progressing. One quick thing before we get into the awards of the night, I tweeted it out today, the rests and injuries, it's one of the reasons why when drafting, I pay zero attention to schedule, because so much can change. Now, I don't pay any attention to schedule whatsoever. I can understand paying attention to bad schedules, but paying a huge amount of credence to good schedules is fraught with some danger. I think we've seen it with the Raptors guys this week, who we've seen Valanciunas miss a game. You know, 5-game week, got to get your Raptors into your lineup. Well, they've missed a game. Yeah, already DeRozan and Valanciunas, and Lowry's going to miss some time. Valanciunas might miss more games as well. You can't predict any of this sort of stuff. You can't predict the position the teams are going to be in. You can't predict if players will be traded, if you will trade those players. You can't predict resting, any of that sort of thing. What you could also do in that situation is you miss out on a player who probably fits your team better, or is an overall better player, because you're focusing on playoff schedule. I'm just very much against that whole thought process. And yes, there's no way for a player who plays 2 games to get a better schedule. So, you know, guys like the Lakers players this week who play 2 games, they can't get better schedules. But guys who play 5 games or 4 games, that can easily become 3 games. And then any benefit you might have perceived to have by drafting them is toast. Now, it could also be a 3-game guy misses a game and he goes down to 2. And that's a real pain as well. But just with the randomness of it, it's not something that I put any credence into when selecting my team or drafting whatsoever. Because even if you grab a guy who's got big games and he plays them all, he's obviously going to play, the team's going to play 82 games. So earlier on in the season, maybe he's had a couple of three-week games, which has cost you a category. And that category might have been the reason you fell out of the playoffs. Now, that sort of thing is probably unlikely, but it can happen. And it's very hard to actually go back and say, oh, you know what? I lost because of this one category I missed out on, or you know, three times because I focused on these guys that I wanted to have five-game weeks during the playoffs. It's really hard to understand that or to really, you know, dig into it. But it can happen, and it is a factor. So that's one of the reasons why, and I don't talk schedule very much at all on the show. I don't talk about it when drafting. And there are ways to eliminate scheduling issues throughout the playoffs. Two-week playoff matchups are great. Game limits per week are great. Acquisition limits are also great as well. And all that sort of stuff really does, to some degree, mitigate these concerns. Like in my hometown league, which I'm gunning for a three-peat in at the moment, which I'm pretty happy about that. I'm in the semifinals at the moment. We have two-week playoff matchups with games limits, so it's 76 games across 2 weeks. I've got Bob Cove, but I don't need to drop him because I'm gonna have to sit some guys anyway, to, you know, just a couple of guys here and there to manage my games limit. So I just sit him. So the games that he was supposed to play, he just sits on the bench. And I don't have to drop him. I don't have to drop someone valuable. I manage the way my team's going to go. And in the end, me and my opponent, we're going to end up playing basically, I think, exactly the same amount of games over the two-week period. And that's exactly the way you want it to go. And I know there are some drawbacks with the system of game limits and all that sort of stuff. But I think it's a fairer way of doing it. Combine that with acquisition limits, it's really your best way to go. I'm going to talk probably more about that sort of stuff in the preseason, in the off season. But I just wanted to get that out there. Now let's get straight into the monstrous line. I say straight, we're probably about 10 minutes in already. Let's get into the monstrous line of the night for Wednesday, and it is Johnny Wall of the Washington Wizards, who put up another triple double: 29, 10, and 12. Two triples, three steals, one block. Super efficient. Remember when everyone was hanging shit on John Wall to start the season? Wasted a pick on this bum. Why did I pick him in the second round? Into the first round. Shit. He's ranked 10th for the season. So, again, just a reminder, don't go over the ball, over the top. John Wall and Chris Paul were absolutely criticized and killed at the start of the year. These guys are bums. You killed me. Why would you draft them here? You ruined my season. Yeah, cool. They're both top 10 players who had slumps to start the season. Yeah, if a guy has a slump in January, you don't notice it. But they slumped at the start. And Wall is killing it now. He's averaging 25 and 10 with two steals, 1.5 triples, 0.8 blocks. Those 0.8 blocks are awesome as well from a point guard. These numbers are ridiculous from John Wall. It's his highest scoring season. He's hitting the most threes of his career, the most rebounds of his career. He's 0.1 assists per game off his best assisting year. It's the most steals he's had in a game per season. It's the most blocks he's had in a game per season. And his field goals and free throws are right in sort of career average numbers. Not the best, but they're clearly not the worst. He's been great. And another big game from Wall as the Wizards really sort of push forward to get the playoff spot. He is going to have to go balls to the wall, and I'm going to expect some pretty big minutes and some pretty big games from Johnny Wall as the rest of his team sort of falls apart around him and can't stay healthy or can't stay on the court or whatever it is and can't play the big minutes. It's all going to run through him, and he's really bloody good. The waiver wire line of the night goes to Dennis Schroeder of the Atlanta Hawks. Talked about him yesterday, how it is tough to own him because of the minutes. And look, he had a great game here. He played 21 minutes in this Hawks game. He had 18 points, including two triples, seven assists, and two steals. That's obviously awesome. And it's, if that's what's going to happen, that's 12-team value. But it just doesn't happen often enough. In the last 2 weeks, he's averaging 11 points, 3.6 assists, half a 3.9 steals in 18 minutes. Yes, there was one game in there where he was benched, played only 3 minutes, and that's it. But you know, this is a big game. This is 18-7. He hasn't scored 18 points since the 22nd of February. The last time he had at least seven assists was on the 1st of March. So they're big numbers for him. And two triples, two steals, that's obviously fantastic. But the overall averages that what he gives you, I think it's really tough to own him in a 12-team league. And I wouldn't be going and rushing to go and add Schroeder in the hopes that this is going to become the norm. Yeah, Jeff Teague's playing well. There's nothing wrong with what Teague's doing. Teague didn't get benched really in this one to have Schroeder on there. They played a couple of minutes together as well. So I don't really look at it and go, oh, I've got to own Schroeder. there are other guys out there who are probably going to be in line for more minutes and more consistent play than what Schroeder is at this point. The young gun of the night, has he got 40 of these, do you reckon? 50? Karl Anthony Towns of the Minnesota Timberwolves. He's pretty good. 18 and 10, 4 assists, 2 steals, 1 block. And on the surface, you go, oh, 18 and 10's not that good, but 4 assists, 2 steals, 1 block, 5 of 8 shooting, 8 of 9 from the line. These are all awesome numbers. He is an awesome player. He is a top 20 player this season. He is a top 10 player over the last 2 months. He's averaging almost 18 and 10 with almost 2 blocks, 0.7 steals, 55 and 82 is his percentages. These numbers are ridiculous. And what's also happened with him, he's at 3.3 foul attempts per game for the season. The last 2 months, he's at 4.3. And that bump is significant. He's at 6 free throws attempts over the last week. These are if he gets to 6 attempts and is hitting 80% as a big man, it is huge. It's so big for your free throw value. And then he's taking 15 shots from the field and shooting over 50% or close to 55%. These are big numbers. Plus, he's going to be a 20 and 10 guy. Well, he is. He's averaging 21 and 11.5 over the last 2 months with almost 2 blocks. He is an animal. He will be a first-round draft pick next year. There is almost zero doubt in my mind. Karl Anthony Towns, stud. The dud of the night, Scott Skiles. I'm not, because Scott Skiles killed Aaron Gordon, who played just 13 minutes and had 2 rebounds. Yep, that's it. No points, no threes, no assists, no steals, no blocks. 0 of 3 from the field. He did have 2 fouls, and that's apparently all it takes for Skiles to go, you're done for the night. He played the first couple of minutes of the game, had 2 fouls really quickly, did not see the court at all for the first half, started the second half, played 4 minutes, and got yanked again. Skiles is a nightmare for fantasy. He is a nightmare as a real-life coach, and that is the big concern for me. We play fantasy sports, we play seasonal leagues, we play daily fantasy leagues, and the NBA likes the association because it boosts the publicity of the league, it boosts the interest of the league by massive, massive amounts that I don't think we really understand how much of an interest it improves, especially in their product like League Pass, where so many people who buy League Pass are DFS players or fantasy players. The amount of people who watch Minnesota games, I think, is to do with fantasy. The teams don't give a shit. They draw in their money. I think the Magic have a sponsorship with FanDuel. They get their money from DFS providers. The coaches don't have any say there. And that's fine, and that's exactly the way it should be. But Skiles is a bad coach. He is a terrible coach, and not just for fantasy. He's a horrific coach for fantasy, but he is a bad coach for real life. He has no accountability for developing a team or doing things the right way or getting his players to play the way that they need to play. Yes, you'll see his track record, take a bad team and make them good for a season. And then after that, the teams go, you know what, piss this guy off. There is no, he is terrible. You hear inside stories about Scott Skiles and they are horrific. They are just terrible, and he continues to get a job. This was a horrible hire when it happened in the offseason. I'm pretty sure I'm on record of saying that. Are the Magic any better? Are they any better than they were under Jacques Vaughn? And Vaughn was horrible. He was terrible. Are they better with Skiles? I'd say they're not, except you're ruining guys like Lord Alfred Payton. You're doing shit like this to Aaron Gordon. And you know what? We forget about it now. But at the start of the season, Gordon was playing 12 minutes a game. And Andrew Nicholson, of all people, was playing 20 minutes plus consistently for about the first 2 months. That's some bullshit there. That is something that shouldn't have happened ever. But it did for a long stretch of time. Yeah, Skiles is coaching is horrible. And I tweeted out today, there are 4 coaches in the NBA who should never be allowed to coach in the NBA again. And he is one of them. Byron Scott is obviously one of them. Sam Mitchell is one of them as well. And Kurt Rambis is clearly the 4th. Now, George Karl, someone tweeted at me, is it George Karl one of them? He should never be allowed to coach in Sacramento. The stuff he's doing now is probably ruining his chance of getting a job anywhere else. But overall, he is a good coach. He's got a proven track record. These other guys have got no track record of being good at all. Plus, they are actually harmful. As for Aaron Gordon, you got to hold on to him. It's a stinker. He'll probably play 30 minutes in the next game. A lot of people were anticipating an Aaron Gordon 36-minute explosion post-trade deadline. It clearly hasn't happened. It was never going to happen to me. It was never going to be on the cards. His minutes have actually reduced significantly lately, over only 26 minutes over the last 2 weeks. And again, that Skiles just being a dead shit. Like, I don't know what he's doing. I don't think anyone knows what he's doing. And this is the risk we're going to take coming into next season when Skiles is the coach, with Oladipo, with Gordon, with Vucevic, with Payton, with Fournier, if he happens to be there, with Hazonia, if Fournier is not, with whoever the Magic have. There are going to be dumb things happening very, very often, and we've seen it that many times this season that by now you have to predict the unpredictable with him. And I love the Magic. I reckon they're a great young team. I've loved the franchise ever since they started. I'm not a Magic fan, but I've never had any issue with the Magic as a team. They're one of my favorite teams. But I love it when they lose, because it means that what he's doing is being... Not only is he not developing the players, but he's also losing games. He's got zero to hang his hat on, and that should hasten his exit from the NBA and hopefully stamp his papers never to be signed again. That won't happen, because there is a lot of people who are dumb in NBA front offices. There's a lot of people who are exceedingly brilliant and smart, and a lot smarter than me. There's a lot who are dumb, who are very, very stupid. Now, I won't say there's a lot. There are some who have got no idea, and they're spread all throughout the league. But there's plenty who are much smarter than me. Unfortunately, we're stuck with Skiles. That was a bit of a rant, so I do apologize, but it really just bugs the shit out of me. I can imagine how much it bugs Orlando fans, so any Magic fans who are listening to this, let me know what your thoughts are, what your thoughts were when Skiles was hired, what your thoughts are now, and is there any chance they can get rid of him at the end of this season? I don't reckon there is, and we're going to be stuck with him for another season, I am pretty sure. Let's have a look at the perfect DFS lineup for Wednesday. Johnny Wall at 59, Brandon Jennings, one of those Orlando guys, 29.6. He got the start with Lord Alfred out again, and that's what it is, that's fine. Vic Oladipo, 42.5, and Lance Stevenson, 46.7. Both those guys were in pretty good situations for DFS, so it's not a surprise to see their names there. Nick Batum at small forward, 46.9. You know I'm one of the biggest Nick Batum fans going around. Actually, don't have a Nick Batum jersey. Need to get on that. And Matty Barnes with 35.5. He is always in tournament play with this Grizzlies situation the way it is. Power forward, Kevin Love at 48.1. You had to have loved him when LeBron went down. Well, not down, when LeBron rested. Really shocking to me that LeBron rested this game. Maybe there's another rest for LeBron coming this week. I wouldn't be surprised. Marv Williams, 43.8. I can't explain Marvin Williams this season. He's doing it. He's consistently doing it. I can't believe it. DeAndre Jordan, 48.7. And the total would have given you 400.8, which is a pretty sizable number. All right. We are going to have a quick break. There's going to be a word from one of our sponsors, and then we're going to get straight into these games and break them down. All right, there we go. We're back. The first game is the aforementioned Orlando Magic, and they took on the Charlotte Hornets. The Hornets are very, very tough to beat at home. The Magic were never going to do that. Vic Oladipo, 42 minutes, 25-5-3, three blocks, a steal, and two triples. He is he's turning into some play. He was a guy who I had pegged as maybe a surprise All-Star guy this season and a top 20 fantasy guy. He's let me down to a degree. But he's storming home, and he is showing exactly what I thought I would see from him all season if he wasn't moved to the bench in some Skiles stupidity to start the year. Over the last month, he's a top 30 player. Over the last 2 weeks, he's a top 15 player. And that's sort of where I expected him to be. He was a guy, and one of those sort of benchmark numbers that I like to look at guys is a 25-5 guy. And he is, over the last 2 weeks, he's at 21.5, 4.5, 4.2. And that's sort of where he can be. He can be a 25-5 sort of player and a two steals guy. He's also averaging, over the last month, 0.9 blocks. We talk about John Wall being a great source of blocks as a point guard. Vic Oladipo, who's got point guard, shooting guard eligibility, is giving you 0.9 blocks over the last month. His field goal percentage is way up. He's at 46% in the last 2 months. His free throws are obviously not a concern. His turnovers are 1.7 over the last month. So just doing massive, massive amounts. He has been great after that stupidity. And we talk about stupidity from Skiles, the stupidity of having Vic Oladipo. I don't care if he plays off the bench, really, but playing him 27 minutes a game was ridiculous. He needed to be playing big minutes. I'm a big Victor Oladipo fan, as you can probably tell. Jennings started in place of Lord Alfred. He had played only 24 minutes. He's just not capable of going bigger than that. And there was a great tweet today, and I did retweet it, and I cannot remember who it was from, talking about people not getting excited about your team signing Brandon Jennings in free agency last season. He tore his Achilles. He will not be the same. There is almost a guarantee that he will not be the same guy ever again. He will still be serviceable, and 16-8-4 with three triples is serviceable. Do you add him in a 12-team league based on this? We don't really know when Lord Alfred is coming back. He could be back in the next game, but Jennings has got definite short-term appeal. Now, they don't play again on Thursday, so that limits any point of adding him there. But in the next game, if Peyton's going to be out, you can add Jennings. 16-8-4 in 24 minutes is probably an unrealistic target, but he's been okay in the last two games. Evan Fournier, only the 28 minutes for him. 9-3, not a great night. I was expecting more there. Mario Hezonja, he got 30 minutes, 11-4-3 with a triple and a block. He's only a deep league sort of player because we had to get Devin Marvel minutes. Of course we did. 15 minutes for Marvel, 9 points with 3 triples. And the big man position, I talked about Jason Smith having a huge game the other night and not to really expect it to continue. He shot 2 of 11 for 8 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists and 2 blocks. While Dwayne Dedman went 1-3 in 19 minutes. So at the moment, we know that Dedman's not going to produce no matter what, and Smith is going to be a fair-sized roller coaster. CJ Watson also chimed in with 7 dimes for his 7 points in 26 minutes. Shabazz Napier, nowhere to be seen. The Magic were without Ilyasova, they were without Vucevic, and they were without Payton. So yeah, a loss is fair enough, and they did okay. So maybe I'll give Skulls a bit of credit there, but still. The Hornets, Marv Williams, 26-9. 4 triples, 2 assists, 1 steal, and 1 block. I can't believe it. I cannot understand how Marvin Williams is all of a sudden not only good, but better than good. He is, in terms of fantasy, he's a top 50 player over the last 2 months. He's giving you less than a turnover a game as well. So that's top 50 in 8-cat. He's higher than that in 9-cat. 15 points, 2.3 triples, 7 rebounds, 7.5 rebounds, almost a steal, almost a block, 49% and 81%. These are the last 2 months stats. He shot last year from the field 43%. The last 2 months he's shooting 49%. He was 71% from the line. He's 81% from the line. He's 86% from the line on the season. That is a 15% increase. That is unheard of. He's shooting 40% from three. 43% over the last 2 months. He was at 36% last year. These numbers, again, they are unheard of. This sort of increase at the age of 29, I can't get my head around it. Obviously, Marvin Williams has to be owned everywhere. Does Marvin Williams continue this sort of form next season? I'll be stunned. But he has made me eat my words significantly this season. It has been such a huge turnaround that it is literally unbelievable what Marvin Williams is doing. Nick Batum, I love this guy. 26-7-9 with 3 triples. Massive Nick Batum fan. And Cody Zeller, 29 minutes, 13-13 and a block. I'm a huge Cody Zeller fan as well, and this is why you don't want to own Al Jefferson, who played just 19 minutes. 7-8 for Jefferson with 3 assists. Really bad shooting, 3 of 12, 1 of 2 from the line. Yeah, 8 rebounds is fine, but nothing else is positive there. He will not start Al Jefferson. He will not overtake Cody Zeller this season unless there's an injury or foul trouble. The Hornets want Zeller. I've said this a million times. They want Zeller to be their center. Jefferson will not be back there next year unless it's on a really cheap contract as a backup guy. Kemba, not his most efficient night, 6 of 16, but 16 points, 8 rebounds, and 3 triples is pretty nice. And Frank Kaminsky actually looked good, 6-7 with a couple of steals in his 18 minutes. He's locked into that sort of role, though. Jeremy Lin, 5 points in 25 minutes. His value has obviously gone backwards since Courtney Lee arrived, and Lee himself had 6 points in his 28 minutes with 5 assists. I don't believe in him as a 12-team league guy, which you probably know. The Thunder and the Celtics. The Celtics are in massive trouble with Jay Crowder out. Massive trouble. At least they got Kelly Olynyk back, who is extraordinarily underrated as an impact player for them. But with Crowder out, they're gonna struggle. The Thunder smashed them. Kev Durant, 28-7-9, 2 threes, 2 blocks. Russ Westbrook, 24-5-5 with 3 steals and 4 triples. And Enes Kanter added again. 26 minutes for Kanter, 17-12 with a block. Serge Ibaka limited to only 24 minutes. Kanter is playing himself into a significant role. Now, I've been surprised at how high his ownership has been most of the season because he's just been too unpredictable and his averages haven't really made it worthwhile. For now, he has to be owned everywhere. If he's available, you have to grab him. He probably isn't, but he has to be. Steve Adams, only 20 minutes, 5-8. I've been a big Kanter fan for a while. I know his defense is bad, but people look at his defense and they go, it's terrible. But there is two sides to a court. And his offense is that high. He's got elite skills. He's got elite offensive skills. He's got elite offensive rebounding. And they're things that I think a lot of people overlook. Because you could have, this guy's got to be out there for his defense. He's got no offensive game whatsoever. Bismack Biyombo is the name that comes to mind. And do we just destroy Biyombo because, he's shit. Like, no one puts out vines of Biyombo not being able to hit a shot or know where to move to or get ignored completely. That sort of stuff doesn't happen. We really pile on guys whose defense is bad, but guys whose offense is horrible, we don't really hear the same criticisms. But Kanter is playing a significant role now, and he obviously has to be owned. Randy Foy had probably his best game with the Thunder, 13-4 with 3 triples in 28 minutes. And Cam Payne, my boy, 22 minutes for Payne, 6-4-4 with a block. This is great. I love getting Payne out there. Let's hope it continues. Dion Wade has only played 11 minutes here, so you'd think that he is going to get an increase there. So that's going to mean that someone, either Foy or Payne, is going to lose playing time. Fingers crossed it's Randy Foy, but we don't know that yet. It could also be Kyle Singler, who played 23 minutes and had 8 points, and Andre Robertson, 4 points in 18 minutes. And he's a guy. He's got zero offensive talent at all. But defensively, he provides a big difference for this team. And yeah, we actually are seeing that the Thunder not be able to play him offensively because he can't do anything. And that's fine because there are two sides to everything. The Celtics, Isaiah Thomas, 29-2, 3 threes, 1 assist. Nice percentage numbers, but overall just a bit of a disappointing night. And Amir Johnson, are we going to get sucked in here? 25 minutes for Amir, 11-12, 5 assists and a block. I'm going to answer for you and say no. Brad Stevens was up to his front court mixing baffling best. Jared Sullinger, who has been their best big man by an absolute mile for most of the season, 20 minutes for Sullinger here, 12-4. It wasn't like he was playing terribly, I didn't think. Wasn't in foul trouble, but he was limited to just less than 20 minutes, while Johnson got 25. Kelly Olynyk played 22 in his return as well. Jordan Mickey got 9 minutes, 18 minutes for Tyler Zeller, who looked all right as well, 16 points with 2 blocks. But maybe we chalk some of this up to a bit of a blowout factor. You're obviously still holding Sullinger. And Amir Johnson, I'm not going and adding him based on a couple of decent games. Avery Bradley had 14 points in 26 minutes. And the Celtics did empty the bench here. Yeah, James Young played 22 minutes. Terry Rozier played 15 minutes. RJ Hunter played 11 minutes. It's not going to be like this all that often. Marcus Smart, only 23 minutes, seven rebounds though. But not much else on 1 of 10 shooting. You really need to watch your percentages if you own him. But I think he's going to be a nice counting stat guy if the Celtics can stay competitive in these games, which at the moment, it's looking like a bit of an if. The Mavericks and the Cavs. The Cavs got the win without LeBron. Dirk, 20 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, and 3 blocks. Big night from Dirk. David Lee just continuing to confound all common sense. 22 minutes for Lee, 20 points, 3 rebounds and 1 assist on 8 of 11 shooting. These numbers are just, they're insanity, but at least he's not blocking the shots or doing those other peripheral things that he never did before. Do you own David Lee? I'm really not a massive fan of it. I would own David Lee over Al Jefferson. Absolutely no doubt in my mind that I would do that. And Lee, he's a top 100 guy over the last month. So, you know what, maybe I have to give him some due. But he's playing less than 20 minutes there. So it just feels unsustainable. He's 65% shooting. It feels unrealistic. A block a game, it is unrealistic. He's a points and rebounds guy, and he's a field goal percentage guy, but not normally in this amount. You still should be owning him, though, and seeing how this mirage plays out. Chandler Parsons, 6-5-10 with 2 steals. So not a great offensive night, but 10 assists and 2 steals gets it done. And JJ Barea chimed in with 17. He had 4 assists and 3 threes as well, and 7 of 10 shooting, which we look at that and we go, that's not going to happen. Darren Williams struggled, 4 points with 5 assists. He did have a triple one, though, but not a great night. And Zaza Pachulia onto the bench, 13 minutes, completely out of favor now. It's not a rest, it's just they just don't like him anymore. Wes Matthews, 23 minutes. You can drop Wes Matthews, I think, in 12-10 leagues. I'm comfortable with that. And Ray Felton started in place of Zaza and had 6 points in his 17 minutes, and not the big game that we saw from him the other day. I love that they're getting Justin Anderson more involved there. 15 minutes for Anderson, not much to production. But it's about time they started to work some young players into the rotation at some point, because when's the last time the Mavericks had a good draft pick? Yeah, a couple of guys who they've drafted and traded away, Kelly Olynyk and Dennis Schroeder, they'd be pretty nice on this team right about now. The Cavs, Kyrie, 33-5, 3 triples, a steal and a block, beautiful. Kevin Love, 23-18, 2 triples and 2 blocks, love it. That's with his no LeBron. Expect them, especially Love, expect him to drop back off when LeBron returns. Channing Frye, again, just getting stuff done. 14 points with 3 threes in 18 minutes. He's a real nice stream 3 option. But he's, like David Lee, his field goal percentage is out of this world. It is not going to continue along this rate. It can't. J.R. Smith played 40 minutes, 13-4-4 with three steals and a 3-1 of his better games. But owning him is fraught with inconsistency. Tim Mozgov was a healthy scratch. I tweeted this out today, and you know my distaste for the contract year term and terminology when people use it as a way to disparage a person's play. DeMar DeRozan, what a season. Contract year. Cool. It is his contract year, that's right. He's going to sign a big contract. The fact that he's improved his game is not because he's out of contract. They said it about Kyle Lowry a couple of years ago. Well, you know what? Lowry's having a better season now in the middle of his contract. When someone wants to throw that out at you and say, oh, he's trash, it was just a contract year, show them Timofey Mozgov's stats from this season. A contract year. He has been dreadful. He's had opportunities, but he's been bad, like really bad. Now, the knee injury may be a concern. Yep, he had that knee issue to start the season. But now he's not even playing without having health issues. He's just not playing. There are examples every season of who aren't... And so I rephrase that terribly. There are guys every season who are in a contract year who regress significantly. Tim Mozgov, he's one. I would just say Brad Beal's contract year is gone. I'd say not well. How would you say Terrence Jones' contract year is gone? Could it have gone any worse for Terrence Jones? And there are injury factors as well, but he has been brutal. Even when he's played, he's been terrible. You know, there are always examples of these guys. How's Mike Conley's contract year gone? He hasn't been terrible, but he definitely hasn't been great. He hasn't elevated his game because of a contract year. So it's one of those things where it gets placed on a person as the reason, whereas you can give as many examples of people in the same situation, you know, not improving their game or getting worse, and that's what bothers me. There you go. Tristan Thompson didn't score in his 37 minutes in the start. He had 8 rebounds and 2 assists, and at this point he is a streaming option for playoffs if you need rebounds. The Bulls and the Wizards. Tuggy McDermott, he's a quality scorer. 20 points with 3 threes. 1 rebound, 2 assists, and 1 steal. He doesn't get it done in any of the other categories. Now, 6 of 10 shooting's brilliant. 5 of 5 from the line is awesome. He got extra run here because Mike Dunleavy is dealing with an illness. Taj Gibson played just 7 minutes. So he got extra run. But is he a must-own player? He's a great guy to add for points. He's a pretty solid guy. If you want a free throw bump, he's an okay source of threes. But he's not a must-own player, I wouldn't have thought. In a 12-team league, you can maybe look at him, but if Dunleavy gets back to 28, does he go back down to 23 minutes? And is that going to be useful? I would say probably not. Jim Butler only played 29 minutes, 17-6-3. He had 3 steals, though. The percentage is not ideal. His field goal percentage is not ideal. 4 of 12. 9 of 11 from the line is pretty good. He will get better than this, obviously, but he is still hurting, I'm pretty confident. Justin Holiday, 30 minutes, 13-6 with a block. He outplayed Etuan Moore today, who only played the 20 minutes in this one. Holiday is still only a deeper league guy. Taj Gibson. 7 minutes for Taj. 3 points, 5 rebounds because he re-aggravated that hamstring issue. Bulls medical staff, they're pretty good. They're pretty switched on. How many times has he done it this season? 3? And he comes back from his hamstring issue. Nah, Taj is good to go. Let's run him 38 minutes. Oh, there it goes again. Nothing makes sense. And then they won't say, you know what, he strained his hamstring, let's rule him out for 2 weeks and let it actually heal. They'll be like, oh, I'll be back in 2 days. Good on you. That'll work out brilliantly. Anyway, Taj is going to miss some time. Pau Gasol has been ruled out probably for the next 3 games, it appears. We know that Joakim Noah is already out. So is it Bob Porter's time? Well, the placeholder starter that they have been using, Cam Bairstow, is also out with a back issue. So it's going to be Portis. It is going to be Mirotic, and it is going to be Cristiano Felizio. It has to be some iteration of Porter's time and Mirotic time. Now, Bobby had 8-5-3 with a steal and a block. Mirotić had 7-1-1 in 24 minutes. 25 for Portis, 24 for Mirotić, and neither of them were great in this game. Yeah, Dougie McDermott plays a lot of the four as well. But if Mirotić is around, you have to add him. If Portis is around in a 14-team league, I'm absolutely adding him. And in a 12-team league, I reckon it's fine to add in the short term as well. Derrick Rose returned 16-3-4 with two steals in 29 minutes. That's pretty nice production in less than 30 minutes. Those minutes will ramp up in the next couple of games, you'd think. Tone Snell played 2 minutes. Cool. The Wizards, talked about Johnny Wall already. Brad Beal played 31. He was back starting, 20-7, a 3, 2 assists and 3 steals. So that's a really nice line from Brad Beal. He's been dropped in leagues, definitely. You can go and look to add him, but to me, this is a sort of a best case scenario for him at this point in the season, so I wouldn't be expecting this sort of production every game. I wouldn't also expect Garrett Temple to go 15-6-4 with 5 triples and a steal in his 30 minutes. I wouldn't expect that. Now, Alan Anderson was out of this one, so that's a reason that Temple got some extra run. I'm not adding him here. Otto Porter played 36 and went 14-5-2. He had 3 triples, 1 steal, and 2 blocks. I said that Porter was done. You could drop him, and he's exploded since then. Almost exploded, sort of exploded. Go on, re-add him and see how it pans out. Markieff Morris, foul trouble really killed him. He was actually producing well. 11-6-2 with a 3 in 14 minutes is great, but 14 minutes is terrible. Foul trouble really limited him. At this point in the season, you might have to drop him, depending on who else you're adding, but I'm not buying that he is an automatic drop everywhere. Marcin Gortat really pissed everyone off today. He was ruled doubtful, then he was ruled out, and then after the DFS lineups locked, he was ruled. Oh no, he might give it a go. And then he came off the bench and he started the second half and played 18 minutes. 9-6 for Gortat with a steal and a block. So your seasonal league guys will be pretty happy that they actually got him to play and to contribute. But 18 minutes is not ideal, and DFS will be cursing this situation. It's a real weird one to me that he's ruled out and then all of a sudden he's ready to go. It doesn't make a massive amount of sense. I don't know how you can rule someone out and then play them. When then earlier in this season we had CJ McCollum had to sit out that game because his name was written incorrectly on a list. It's a pretty weird situation. Nene played 23 minutes with Gortat sitting. 12 points, 4 rebounds, a steal and a block. So nice numbers from Nene. And if Gortat happens to sit another game, which we can't obviously trust at this point, then Nene has that 14-team league sneaky value. Jared Dudley's value is put clearly. 16 minutes for 2 points for Jared. The Atlanta Hawks and the Detroit Pistons. Big win for the Hawks on the road. They are really peaking at the right time here. Al Horford, 21-11, 4 assists, 2 threes and a block. Big night from him. Paul Millsap, 13-10 with 4 steals and a block. Just, I talked about it yesterday, one of the best power forwards for stealing the ball. Kent Bazemore bounced back, 15-10 with 2 triples. I don't believe that's a realistic sort of line for him moving forward, but still pretty nice. And Jeffy Teague went 22-2-9 with a steal and 2 triples in only 28 minutes. A good production from Teague. Thabo Sefolosha, 28 minutes for Thabo, 9-6 with a steal and a 3. He's not out of place on a 12-team roster. It might sound stupid, but you can use Thabo if you want threes and steals and really good rebounding from a shooting guard. He's averaging over 6 in the last 2 weeks and a block a game in that time as well. You can own him. I probably wouldn't be suggesting it as it's a blanket pickup, but as a strategic pickup, Thabo is not a ridiculous move. Cole Korver struggled, 4 points in his 28 minutes. For the Pistons, Toby Harris, 19-11-5 with 2 triples. He's pretty good. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope is also on fire at the moment. 24-4, 3 triples, a steal, 2 blocks. Don't expect that sort of a defensive rim protection from KCP all that often, but the scoring, the threes, and the steal, that's where his value comes from. Marcus Morris played 37 minutes, went 14-4-2. That's okay. And Reg Jackson, 17 points, 10 assists, and a block. Sub 30 minutes. Really bad shooting, but you'll take the 17 points, you'll take the 10 assists as well. Well, Andre Drummond went 18-18 with a block, but he just destroyed both your percentages. 5 of 12 from the field, and we know the free throws are an issue. 8 of 17 from the line. Talked about it on yesterday's pod that the thought there would be a massive amount of free throw attempts for Drummond. It didn't actually result in him getting taken out of the game too often. He played 34 minutes, and Aaron Baines got 14, 6 and 5 for Baines, while Stan Johnson had 7, 4 and 3 in his 20 minutes. The next game, the Minnesota Timberwolves and the Memphis Grizzlies. Zach LaVine, 28 points in 41 minutes. He had 6 triples. He's providing not much else, though. He still obviously has to be owned, but 3 rebounds, 1 assist, no steals, no blocks. Good percentage here on this one where he went 11 of 19, but at the moment he's a scoring guy and he's hitting threes, and that's sort of where he's sitting at the moment. Gorgui Dieng went 15, 6, and 7. He had 3 blocks. Nice production out of him. Really love that they're just going with him playing next to Towns. Rick Rubio, 15, 3, and 11. He had a steal. He had 2 triples, and someone did tweet at me today, and I forgot to get back to them. I think it was John. They asked me, what is Ricky Rubio's ranking the last 2 weeks? Let's have a look at that. 38th. Now, 38th in 8 cat leagues. You punt for your goal percentage, you're talking about a top 25 guy. So Rubio has been really good this season, and a lot of people are not Rubio fans, but I am one. Andy Wiggins, 31 minutes, 16 points, 2 triples, 2 blocks, 3 rebounds and an assist. You know, the threes and blocks, you're really liking there. The rebound and assist, not so great, but really has improved his game recently too. And Tyus Jones, another guy that I'm a fan of. 10 points, 5 assists, 1 steal, 2 blocks in his 19 minutes. Great guy to keep an eye on in Dynasty. Also, Tayshaun Prince played 22 minutes for whatever reason. And Shabazz Muhammad, only the 15. So Sam Mitchell, thanks for that. Memphis. Okay, Ryan Hollins played 24 minutes as the starting center, had 12 and 5 with a steal and 2 blocks. 20 team leagues, fine. Lance played through his wrist issue, 24, 11 and 7, as per usual. No threes, no steals, no blocks. That is what he does. Your field goal percentage not great. 8 of 9 from the line, you really like. He's a clear must-own player. Clear. Bryonte Weber looks like he's actually getting the job over Ray McCallum. I'm not a fan of that, but he's played 30 plus minutes, almost 34 minutes every game, and this was his best game by far. 12, 3 and 4, a steal and a block. Do you add Bryonte Weber in a 12 team league? I reckon you can probably do better, but I don't hate the move. Whereas Ray McCallum just had 16 minutes, 6 points with 2 triples, so any preemptive add of McCallum probably feels like he can be moved on from. Jermichael Green bounced back after a couple of stinkers, but his field goal percentage is still terrible at the moment. 7 of 17, but 18 and 10 with a triple and 3 assists is nice. Once we get Zach Randolph back, his value is going to drop, and I wouldn't want to own him. Jarrell Martin, 12 and 8 in 23 minutes and a block. He's obviously benefiting from the Zebo injury also. And Matty Barnes went 14, 10 and 3. He had a 3, he had a steal, he had 3 blocks, and that's all great. But he went 6 of 21 from the field, so field goal percentage just obliterated. And he also went 1 of 3 from the line, so not a great line there. But as I mentioned the other day, you know, field goal percentage for Matt Barnes is a big problem, and this just exacerbated it. Tone Allen played 33 minutes, 10, 3 and 2 with a block. Yeah, you can own him. To me, he's not a must-own guy because he's just not, he doesn't have the ability to put up numbers like we want guys to do. The Clippers and the Rockets. DeAndre Jordan, big night from DeAndre. 23 of 16, a steal. 23 and 16, a steal, 2 blocks, 8 of 8 from the field, which is helpful. 7 of 13 from the line, and you do not care about that. JJ Redick hit 5 triples on his way to 25 and added 3 assists, while Chrissy Paul went 15, 4 and 16 with 2 steals. The Clippers actually got some production out of their bench. Austin Rivers had 12 points. Wes Johnson had 12 points with a steal and 2 threes. Jamal Crawford had 14 points with 7 assists in 27 minutes. Luke Marmute played 33 minutes and had 12 points. Jeff Green started and had 0. He had a steal and a block, and he is just a massive disappointment. Now, fouls were a real issue for him. He had 4 fouls in his 16 minutes. What if with Crawford, with Marmute both playing well here, do you add them? No. Yeah, they remain where they were. 14 to, you know, for Crawford, 16, 18 team leagues for Marmute. Wes Johnson is sort of in the middle there in that 14 league range as well. And Jeff Green, whatever, just stream your spot, add him when you feel it's necessary. But he'll go out and score 30 in the next game and you'll be kicking yourself. That's just what he does. The Rockets, Jim Harden, 33, 5 and 8, 5 triples, a steal, a block. 44 minutes, he was due for a big one and he got one. And Trev Ariza had been a little bit down, but 16, 6 and 4 with two triples and a block is nice production from him. Mike Beasley, what is going on? Mike Beasley, 16 and 8 in 19 minutes. He is a great point stream at the moment. He's not going to give you much else. You know, no steals, no blocks, no threes in this one, just one assist. He's going to be a points and rebounds guy, and that can be useful at this time of the year to get 15, 16 points. He's obviously found himself a role. It's that 15 to 20 minute role, and he's going to score on most nights and be a real focal point of that second unit. But it just feels so unbelievable. 16-team leagues, sure. 14-team leagues, maybe. Stream in a 12-team if you have the courage. Donatas Motiejunas, after a really encouraging game, played 8 minutes, so that's not good. Clint Capela played 7. Terrence Jones was a healthy scratch again. As I referenced earlier in the Tim Mozgov rant, how Terrence Jones' contract year going? Think about it. This is his contract year. You couldn't have had a worse season if you tried. You know, he's not good. I've been on the Terrence Jones is not good bandwagon for a pretty long time, but this is horrific. Montrezl Harrell played 14 minutes. Not much to really love about the Rockets apart from Jim and Trev at the start of the night. Patrick Beverley, 7 points. He only had 2 assists, but he did chime in with 3 steals, so a little bit of use there. And Dwighty Howard, only the 6 points and 7 rebounds. A really down night for Dwight. No blocks, no steals. Not a good field goal percentage. 50% is good, but only on 4 attempts is not really helping your team out too much. And I am enjoying going up against Dwight in my league with that sort of performance. The Pelicans and the Kings. Norris Cole was out again with a back injury. Enter Tim Frazier. 14-3-9 for Frazier with a steal in 27 minutes. He was 6 of 10 from the field. He was 2 of 2 from the free throw line. Do you add Tim Frazier? It limited Tony Douglas's minutes. Orlando Johnson played just 1 minute, and that's perfectly fine. Frazier can distribute the ball. There's no doubt about that. He can distribute it. He's had some pretty big assist games last year. He averaged 9 assists per 36 minutes. This season he's just at 6.2, but he is a horrific shooter. He's at 38% this year. He was at 34 last year. He's at 59 from the line this year. He was at 48 last year. He's shooting 17% from 3. He was at 29 last year. He's just well below average in every shooting category. It's horrible. But tonight he was great. And that's where I look at it and go, yeah, 14 points is great on 6 of 10 shooting and 2 of 2 from the line. It won't happen again. Now, the 9 assists is relatively real. The steals are okay. But when Cole returns, he'll go back to being not much. Just add him if you're looking for assists. Tone Douglas, 11-3-3. He had 3 triples, a steal, and a block. So a nice full line. But I don't like that his minutes got reduced with the addition of Frazier. So he moves into more of a 14-16 team league sort of guy. Luke Babbitt went down to 13 minutes, and that's probably about right for him. Up the top of the box score, Tone Davis, 27-14, a 3, a steal, 2 blocks, just getting it done. And Ryan Anderson had 29 points, including 5 threes. He had 5 rebounds and 3 assists as well, and he is really turning it around over these last couple of weeks after a massively down stretch throughout the start of this year. Drew Holiday's minutes, a bit of a worry to me that they're reducing them. 28 minutes for Drew, 17 points with 4 assists. Still productive, but the fact that they're not letting him go over 30 at the moment is concerning. The Pelicans medical staff is second to the Bulls in terms of ineptitude, so there is definitely some concern with Drew there. You're not doing anything with it. You can't drop him, you can't trade him. It is what it is, and keep your fingers crossed. Omer Asik went from not playing at all in the last game to 21 minutes. He had 5 and 4, and the rest of the crap, Kendrick Perkins, Dante Cunningham, Orlando Johnson, there's no fantasy value in those guys. Boogie Cousins was great, 20-12-5, 2 steals, 2 blocks, 8 of 21 from the field is not ideal, and 4 of 4 from the line is pretty good. So a pretty good night overall from Boogie. Darren Collison, 23 points in just 27 minutes, which is just ridiculous to me. He did have foul trouble, but you would have hoped that he could have played some extra minutes with Rajon Rondo out, which was a strange one with Rondo sitting with that turf toe issue. The Kings are a mess, clearly. Collison was still great. 23 points, 3 triples, 4 assists. We know that he has to be owned in all leagues. Despite his role, he's going to play the 2, he's going to play the 1. And this is another big night from Darren Collison, obviously. Omri Caspi, he's looking a little bit better lately. It's not enough for me to go, yeah, let's look at him in a 12-team league. But 12-6 and 2 triples is nice. Seth Curry got big run with Rondo out. He had 11 points with 5 assists. And James Anderson played 34 minutes. Of course he did. 17-4 with 3 triples on 7 of 9 shooting. Just a massive hot streak from Anderson. Collison's foul trouble, Rondo's absence, Ballinelli out, McLemore out, it enabled Curry and Anderson to get some extra run. So if Rondo, McLemore, and Ballinelli all miss again, then Curry and Anderson are going to have impact. They can be streamed in. They can be DFS'd. There's value in those guys. Rudy Gay was disappointing, 12-5-3 on 4 of 11 shooting. And Willie Cauley-Stein got the start, but he got carled. 2-7-2 in 24 minutes, so we could give Quincy Acey 14 minutes. And they went pretty small as well, which I can sort of understand, but develop your young guy. See what Cauley-Stein can actually give you. But that's obviously not in George Karl's best interest, because there is zero chance that he is coaching this team next season. Speaking of bad coaches, the New York Knicks took on the Golden State Warriors and predictably got their asses kicked. They lost by almost 40 to the Warriors, and this was a risk that I talked about on yesterday's podcast, that your big guys for the Warriors aren't going to play most likely, because they are going to smash the Knicks. The best thing I can say about the Knicks in this one is that we didn't see 40 minutes from Melo. We didn't see 35 minutes from Jose Calderon. We got some other guys into the game. Melo, still good, 18-6-6 with 3 triples, less than 30 minutes. That's more common sense. But otherwise, you can't read into too much of this. They just got destroyed. You know, Calderon destroyed. Jerry and Grant played 19 minutes and, shockingly enough, looked good, 8-3-2 with 2 steals. Also, just a quick word, the Knicks signed Tony Roten officially. He won't play this year. They signed him to a multi-year deal. If they think that he is the point guard of the future, then they have no future. Kev Serafin, a guy who I have been unreasonably excited about over his career, he had 12 points, 3 rebounds, and 3 assists, showing something up there. Aaron Aflalo, of course, we got to get him 35 minutes off the bench. Just because they're on the bench and it's a blowout, you don't need to give him the minutes. It could have gone somewhere else, but what are your other options? Sasha Vujicic, who played 21. Kristaps struggled. I don't even want to play the soundbite. He was that bad, but maybe I should.
Percentages.
Yep. 1 of 11 for 2 points, 7 rebounds, 3 assists, and a block in 26 minutes. But I can't fault the playing time of these guys really in this game, because they were getting destroyed. Sit your big guys. Porzingis doesn't need to play big minutes. I can fault Rambis and a lot of the things that he does and his coaching style and the way Phil runs things. There's lots of faults, but this is just what happens when you take on the best team in or maybe soon to be NBA history. For the Warriors, yeah, Steph was still great. 34-6-4 with 8 triples in just 28 minutes. 12 of 20 shooting. This guy is a marvel. Draymond, 6-11-10 with 2 blocks in 29 minutes. Great production. Klay Thompson, 19-7 with 5 triples in 26 minutes. But the fact that their minutes got reduced means it was hard for them to reach their DFS value. They were an absolute lock to smash it, but using them with this sort of minute reduction is a pain. Pretty easy win for the Warriors, you'd say. Guys feasting. Let's go to Harry Barnes. How did he go? Well, he played 32 minutes and had 8 points, 6 rebounds, and shot 2 of 7 from the field. Harry Barnes, if you're owning him in 12-team leagues, please stop it. Please move on. 10-team leagues, what the hell are you doing? He has to be gone. Brandon Rush had 7 points in his 20 minutes, and Leandro Barbosa played 22 for 7, 4, and 2. And that rounds it up, but it doesn't. Maurice Spates, again, with the high points in limited minutes, 13 points in 16 minutes with 3 triples. Points are coming out of his ass at the moment, so you have to look at him in your deeper formats just to stream in, because he is available in stacks of leagues. He's only owned in 3% of leagues, and in your 16-team leagues, he's providing value at the moment. In a 14-team league, I'd even look at Maurice Spates at the moment. Now, we are done with those games from Wednesday. I'm going to take a short break, and then we're going to be back to talk about the games for Thursday.
What you could do.
price. Why can't you understand? Never want to leave you, cause I think it's worth to be alone. Times like this.
We're back, and we've got a lot to talk about. I realize I've been blabbering on for almost an hour, so let's get stuck into these DFS games for Thursday. The first one of those, the first one of eight on Thursday, is the Toronto Raptors and the Indiana Pacers. There is no spread for this one just yet because we obviously don't know if Jonas Valanciunas is playing. We don't know if the Raptors are going to exercise their resting scenario and sit guys like Kyle Lowry. There's a lot of things that are in play. So when you're obviously setting your DFS lineups, stay tuned to the @BaskMonster handle for all the up-to-date news. And also on Basketball Monster, if you're not a member, I do suggest you do become one. As soon as things happen, we're adjusting the projections. We're adjusting all the DFS stuff for the day. You're based on who goes out, usage rates change, minutes change, playing time change, stats change, DFS value changes. So it happens as soon as we hear the news. You know, within a couple of minutes, all the projections are updated immediately. And you don't find that in many places. Toronto at Indiana, let's get stuck into that. The point guards, Corey Joseph's at 3,600. He's just not doing enough for me, so no. Kyle Lowry at 8,900. I like him here, I think, assuming he plays. Now, that's an assumption. Assuming he plays at 8,900, he's got to get to 45 points. He's been on fire lately. He's averaging over 40 across his last five. He's averaging 44 across his last three. I think that 40-point plus is definitely in play for him. And recently, point guards against the Pacers haven't been getting shut down like they were earlier in the season. Georgie Hill struggling with a lot of things. A toe is one of them. He's at 5,200. He's providing no value whatsoever, so I don't think we're going to be looking at him. And Ty Lawson's likely back for this game, but he's also likely not to touch your DFS lineups. Shooting guards, Monte Ellis, 6,600. He's been pretty good lately. Give him his due. He's averaging 33 across his last five. He's not a high upside guy, but he's not a terrible cash game shooting guard when, you know, shooting guard's not the deepest of positions. 3,500 for Terrence Ross, that's just a punt in a tournament, and maybe it comes off, but it probably doesn't. DeMar DeRozan's at 84. Now, shooting guards have struggled against the Pacers recently. DeRozan's been really good this season, but he needs to get you 42 or 43 points. Can he do it? Well, he's averaging 44 across the last three. He's averaging 41 across the last five. His lowest score in his last five has been 32. Now, Monte Ellis is not a great guy to cover him, but they've got the Yamahimi, LaVoy Allen, Jordan Hill, Miles Turner group at front who can clean stuff up. And DeRozan's a really, really adept driver, but he's going to have to drive through those guys. So that might be a concern. It could also mean he goes to the line 15 times and gets 15 easy points. So that's another way to look at it. I don't hate using DeRozan. That's the overall sum up there. Rod Stuckey, Solomon Hill, Normie Powell, who was brilliant in the last game with DeRozan out, dropping 30 points. That most likely won't happen again. Small forwards, Paulie George, 9,000. He had 46 in the last one, but he's definitely, to me, he is a tournament-only option. I will not be trusting Paul George in cash games. He's really just up and down with his shot, especially. He can go into games where he just goes completely missing. Small forwards haven't been awesome against the Raptors when he plays the four. Fours have been terrible against the Raptors. He's playing much less four now than he was to start the season. Yeah, he's not a complete write-off, but I don't think he's someone I'd have in my lineups. Jim Johnson at min and salary for the Raptors, no. CJ Miles, he can barely get over 10 points despite having an awesome start to this season, and that's about it. Power forwards, Patrick Patterson, really showing up lately. He's at 4,000. He dropped 29 in the last game in just 20 minutes. He's averaging 22 across the last five. I don't hate using Pat. He's clearly getting the minutes over Luis Scola. He's not even a bad cash play if you're looking for a cheap power forward. Miles Turner, 4,800, under 5,000 now. Obviously, 4,800. The production hasn't been there for him. And this is, the Raptors have, inexplicably really, when their power forwards have been Pat and Luis Scola, really, all season, have just been destroying opposition power forwards. I don't know how it's happening, but it is. Turner slumping, not a good matchup, no thanks. LaVoy Allen, who's been okay in stretches, but not going to use him here. And Luis Scola, Jason Thompson, no thanks. Center, we don't know if Jonas Valanciunas is playing. I won't use him if he is playing, but if he's out, Bismack Biyombo is at 4,200, and he is definitely worth a look. He dropped 33 in the last start. You expect 25-plus from him if he happens to start. He won't play 30 minutes. He'll play 25, but big rebounds, big blocks should translate into enough DFS value. Jan Mahimi's at 51. He needs to be much less than 5,000 for me to consider him. 44, maybe I'd look at him. The production is just not there at the moment. Still like him in standard leagues, but for DFS, it's not happening. The next game, the Philadelphia 76ers and the Washington Wizards. Now, the Wizards need every win they can get, so they're not going to rest players. But if they get up big in this one on a back-to-back, do they limit guys like Johnny Wall? Do they limit Brad Beal? Do they limit Marcin Gortat, who's already dealing with a back issue? Now, Gortat played in that game, you know, which we talked about earlier. But does that mean he plays in this one? The back could seize up. I've marked him as questionable for this game. I don't know if he's going to play. It was a real weird situation on Wednesday. He might play, he might not. Really tough for DFS, though. Isaiah Cannon is at 3,900 for the point guards. He had 23 in the last game. He's been a massive source of threes for your standard leagues. He's at 3,900. He's averaging 21 points. To me, that's fine. He is going to get run. He is going to have a role with Bob Cove and Jeremy Grant out, and they have to move. Guys have to slide down positions. Cannon will play the two. Stauskas plays more three. Hollis Thompson's in there as well. He's going to get 30 minutes. You would feel pretty confident about Isaiah Cannon getting 30 minutes, and 20 points is sort of where it's at for him. And that's okay at 3,900. It's not really much tournament upside, because even when he gets hot, it's not going to come in all the other categories. It's going to be points, and that's really about it, but I think he's okay. TJ McConnell had a big game in the last one, but I don't trust that to continue. Ish Smith at 6,500, he's really not cracking value much at all lately. Probably someone I steer clear of, especially when you're matching up against Johnny Wall. And Johnny Wall himself, 9,400, there is a risk involved though. He had 59 today, he's averaging 46 across his last five. It's a great matchup, but what if he plays 30 minutes? Now, the caveat to that is, the Sixers are bad, the Wizards are bad as well. So maybe he can't play limited minutes. Now, they just smashed the Bulls, and the Bulls are horrible. The Bulls, I saw a stat today, are 1-10. 1-9 in their last 10 road games. They're horrible. The Wizards here are on the road. If I had to put odds on it, I would say that I am more than 50% confident that John Wall plays 35 minutes plus. I think the game stays close enough where he has to be in there to make sure, because they have to make sure that he wins. They don't have the first round pick, remember? And they're not going to drop down far enough where they keep it. They need to win. Shooting guards. Brad Beal played 31 minutes Wednesday. It's a back-to-back. He's coming off that pelvis issue. 5,200 for him. You know what? His numbers, you look at it and go, hey, he's averaging 26. 5,200, that's fine. Yeah, I don't really love it. He's had a couple of big games, so maybe in a tournament you throw him in. In the last five, he's had two games exceeding 35 points, which is great. You know, that's 7x value. That's awesome. Nicky Stauskas at 4,000. Would have liked him under 4, but a big game in the last one, a 32-pointer. But he's also had in his last five a negative 1. Now, I think that he has turned the corner to a degree. He's being trusted more. He's out there more. He's doing more than just scoring as well. So at 4,000, I think he is in play. Alan Anderson, don't think we're going to see him, to be honest. And Garrett Temple at minimum salary, I wouldn't expect another 30-point outing from him. I'd be much more confident in Nick Stauskas getting to 30 than Garrett Temple, and that might sound weird to others. The man who I buried a couple of weeks ago, Otto Porter, is at 4,500, but he has roared back. He's averaging 30 across his last three. It's a beautiful matchup against the Sixers. I reckon he is good to use. Hollis Thompson's a $4,000 punt play, and that's it at the small forward position. Power forwards, Markeith. He's at 5,000. He played 14 minutes and put up 20 DFS points. It's not horrible. He was on track for a 30-pointer. This is a beautiful matchup. How big are your balls? I don't need to see them or anything, but are they big enough to go and put Markeith into your DFS lineup? Because it could work. He's been pretty bad, but it could work. This is a situation where it's looking tournament-worthy to me. Nerlens Noel at 6,700. Surprisingly, the Wizards are really good defensively against power forwards. So Noel, who hasn't really been getting his value at 6,700 recently, is not someone that I'm going to be all that interested in. But Carl Landry at 4,900 is, he's only getting 25 minutes, but he's giving you 28 to 30 points on a majority of nights. I think that he's a fairly solid play at 4,900. Nene at 41, we'd use him if Gortat is out. If not, probably want to steer clear. And your guys like Elton Brand, Jared Dudley, Drew Gooden, JJ Hickson, they probably don't have much appeal. At center, Marcin Gortat, He's at 6,200. Do you trust it? Absolutely not. So I don't think I'll be using him. Even without the injury, he hasn't really been able to provide enough value at that salary over recent times. Mainly because of Randy Whitman. The Hornets and the Heat. The Heat are favored by 4. The total is 210 here. Let's look at the point guards. Goran Dragic is it's a great matchup for him, that the Hornets are allowing point guards to be pretty decent. 6,800 for Goran. He hasn't been producing that well lately. He's been better than he was to start the season, but with an average of 32 across the last 5, it's not spectacular. I don't want to rule him out of a tournament, though. I think that he is worth looking at. Kemba Walker, it's a horrible matchup. He's priced at almost 9,000. I don't think there's any chance I want to use Kemba, but plenty of times this season he's proved me wrong, and in the horrible matchups, he's put up big numbers. I just don't want to get involved with it here. Shooting guard. Dwayne Wade's at 7,400. Courtney Lee is an underrated defender. I don't want Wade at 7,400. Jeremy Lin, no thanks. Joe Johnson at 5,400 has been playing really well, and it's a solid matchup. When he plays, he's going to play the 3 more. Averaging over 30 in his last 3, 26 in his last 5, and he's an okay play, but I wouldn't say that he's solid or anything like that. Joshy Richardson is at 4,200. He had 34 points in his last game. He's averaging 27 in the last 3, 23 in the last 5. I reckon he's a great 4,200 punt. The shooting has to stop. It can't continue at this rate. Does it happen in this one? It very well could, but he does have an ability to get rebounds, to hit some threes, to block some shots, to get some steals. He can even pass the ball occasionally. He's got ability in other areas, so if the shot doesn't fall, some other things can happen, and I really don't see much happening to his minutes. He's going to be in that 27 to 30 range and should be decent. Courtney Lee's at 3,900. He's too risky to use. Small forwards, Nick Batum. Massive Nick Batum fan, as you know. He's at 7,500. He's averaging over 40 points, over 41 points in his last 3, 39 in his last 5. At 7,500, you could get a stinker out of Batum, but I feel pretty confident when he's in this sort of form. I like the other two power forwards as well. Not power forwards, small forwards. Justice Winslow's at 43. He's been riding a hot streak, averaging 27 across his last 3. He's definitely in play, but he is a tournament option. Whereas Luol Deng at 6,400, I find that he is a cash and tournament option here. You should get, his last 5 games, he hasn't gotten below 30 points. I reckon he is a pretty safe guy to use. Power forwards, not a lot here. Cody Zeller's at 44. He had a big game, but he just doesn't do it often enough. Marv Williams, actually, there's value. Marv Williams, 5,900. The Heat do restrict power forwards to a degree, but he's averaging 32 across his last 5, 35 across his last 3. He's insanely hot. I'm definitely fine with using Marv Williams. Frank Kaminsky, his minimum salary, he's got a nice role, but it's not producing enough DFS points for us to care. At center, Hassan Whiteside, who missed some practice with some soreness, he will play, I'm sure. He's at 8,400, though. Hasn't quite been getting there. Yeah, averaging just 38 across the last 5, and if he gets 38, you're not really happy enough. You could look at him, but I reckon there's a better center option coming later on, and they play against my Bulls. Denver and Atlanta. The Hawks are favored by 7.5 points. The total here is 209. Dennis Schroeder, 4,400. Big game today. Great ease matchup, but he's tournaments only, and that's really, it's a risky play even then. Jeffy Teague at 6,400, really been playing well. 32 points across his last 5. It's a really good matchup for him. I don't hate using Teague. I reckon he's not a bad cash game point guard. He's not losing minutes to Moutier at this point, which he was earlier in the season, but he's not to Moutier. He's the next guy. He's not losing minutes to Schroeder at this point. He's not losing minutes to Schroeder at this point. Schroeder will play, but Teague is still getting his 29 minutes a game. Moutier at 6,000 struggled the last couple of games. I really like him. I think he's bound for a big one. I think he's a really solid tournament play with 35, 40 point upside here. DJ Augustine's been good as well. 4,500, I reckon you're fine with using DJ. His lower score in his last 5 is 18. They're playing him and Moutier together a lot. I reckon 25 points from Augustine feels like not a bad bet. Shooting guards, my man Gaz Harris. He's up to 5,400. Is that dissuading me from using him? No, he's averaging 28 across his last 5, 29 across his last 3. Kyle Korver's not a massive impediment. He's going to play the minutes. He has to be looked at. Will Barton at 54. Hey, throw him into a tournament, but even then, don't. I just don't like him. And Kyle Korver at 3,900. Yeah, he can go big, but he is a sort of a 1-in-5 game, 1-in-6 game sort of producer. And that is obviously not conducive to your cash games. Small forwards, Kent Bazemore. It's the battle of Kent Bazemore and Will Barton, two of my favorites. 4,600 for Bazemore. A big game today. A great matchup. Does he do it again? I don't put faith in him. I would look at him in a tournament, maybe, but I don't trust it. Thabo, Mike Scott, Jakar Sampson, Mike Miller, Axel Toupin. There is not a great selection of small forwards to come out of this game. Power forwards, though. Paul Millsap, 8,000, 40 points. I reckon you can almost lock that in against Denver. Love it. Darrell Arthur at 3,900. He's a great tournament option. If Farid is going to struggle, which we've seen him do plenty of times, or have back issues, which we've seen him do also, Arthur has upside. Now, Farid played just 14 minutes in the last game, and we heard initially that it was back problems. Mike Malone was asked about it, and it's, he was just shit. He just sucked defensively, and I had to make a change because he was terrible. And he said, Ken said nothing about having a sore back. I didn't know he had a sore back. How much of that is coach speak, I don't know. But he's literally gone out and called out his player and hasn't used an injury as an excuse. Now, we had to pull Ken because he got a sore back. He got to rest it up. It tightened up on him, just tweaked something. Didn't say that. No, what are you talking about, back injury? He was shit. Get him off. And that's exactly what happened. So that's the perils of owning Ken Farid and for rostering him in DFS. Probably a stay away, I would say. Centers. This is a good matchup here. I really love it. Nick Jokic at 6,400. I don't think I love it for DFS. I love the matchup, and I love Nick Jokic. I'm sort of behind it, but I'm not fully committed. Al Horford at 7,000, Rick, he is probably a better option. He's averaging 35 across his last three. He's really turned it up as the Hawks are on this little streak at the moment. He dropped 42 today. I feel a bit more comfortable with him. Jokic is a great tournament option, but I'd really like him to be around 6,000. He's probably going to get you 30 points. He's averaging 31. But the problem is, in his last five, he's averaging 31, and it goes from 46 to 9. It's a big drop-off. And that 9 was a bit of a aberration. It was a Malone issue. It was weird. I think you can use both guys, but I'm just not sold on Jokic in this situation. The next game is the Memphis Grizzlies and the Milwaukee Bucks. And I say that because I look at Memphis and I go, what's going to happen? Like, who is going to get injured? Who is going to play? Who is going to get the minutes? Who is going to get the production? Memphis at Milwaukee, there is no spread for this one. The point guards, Jared Bayless is at 4,500. He has done absolutely nothing to show that he is worth rostering in DFS, so we stay clear of him. Briontae Weber now has a price. He's a minimum salary player. He dropped 24 today. It's not a great matchup against Milwaukee, honestly. Even with Michael Carter-Williams out, point guards have been getting reduced significantly. So you'd throw him into a tournament and maybe it works out for Briante. Ray McCallum, the minutes are well down. Xavier Munford, who they just signed, is he's not available on FanDuel just yet. So we don't have to look at him. And Tyler Ennis, who played some big minutes for the Bucks in the last game, he's at minimum salary as well. You might look at him, but you probably won't get too excited about it. Shooting guards, Lance. It's all about Lance here. 5,600 for Stevenson. He's averaging 45 across his last three in 35 minutes. Who's going to handle the ball apart from Lance? Weber and McCallum don't cut it. It is going to be Stevenson. 40 points should feel like an absolute lock. And if he is not in your cash game lineup, I'm pretty confident you are going to lose because everyone's going to have him. In a tournament, it might be an idea to go away from him. But even then, he's probably going to go for he's probably going to go for 7, 8x, 9x value. It's going to be big. Tone Allen's at 4,500. Yeah, definitely underwhelming recently. 4,500's all right, but I don't love it. And Chrissy Middleton at 8,000. I look for a big bounce back from him. He only had 23 in the last game, but 40 points for him is definitely not out of the question. You're going to be shocked at Giannis Antetokounmpo's salary. It's 10,200. He had another 51-point game. 10,200 for Giannis against Matt Barnes and Memphis. It is tough to use him at that. That is a huge salary. But he is balling like we haven't seen people ball in a while. He's doing just ridiculous things. Do you think that Giannis is a lock for 50 points? Because that's what you're going to need to use him in a cash game. I'm pretty sure I don't believe it. But it wouldn't shock me if he went for 80. That's the thing with Giannis. I think he's a great tournament option, but it's a little bit risky to me to spend $10,000 on. Matty Barnes is at $5,600. You think he's more of a tournament option. He's quite up and down, but they've just got no one. So there's a little bit more of cash game reliability there. Vince Carter at $3,900. If he happens to play, then maybe he's got tournament upside, but probably not. Power forwards, Jabari Parker. He's at $6,600. He's been a little bit depressed with terms of his numbers lately. Bucks against the Grizzlies. Who's he going to go against? Z-Bo? Jermichael Green? If it's Green, then I'm a little bit more confident in using Parker. Not that Randolph's a great defender, but he'll wear Parker out defensively. Jarrell Martin's at $3,900. He's been putting up solid numbers, averaging 22 across his last five. If Z-Bo's out, you can look at him in your tournaments at 39, even if you want a cheap power forward in a cash game. He's not a horrible play. Jermichael Green is too expensive for me at 6,000. He's too fluctuable with what he returns. And Ryan Hollins is at minimum salary. He had a big game, 25 points, but my level of trust in him doing that is pretty minimal. Johnny Henson returned for the Bucks in the last game, but he played just 6 minutes, and I don't anticipate him going straight back to 20. Centers, $6,500. Greg Monroe, no thanks. Miles Plumlee, $36, no thanks. Johnny O'Brien, no thanks. And that concludes the centers. Brooklyn and Chicago, there is no spread for this one yet. There's obviously injury concerns all across the Bulls. Point guards, Derrick Rose is at $7,000. It's a pretty good matchup, but I'm not going to use Derrick Rose at $7,000 when he's just coming back from an injury. Don Sloan at $4,400. Which one are we going to get? Are we going to get big Don Sloan? Are we going to get big Shane Larkin? It means we use them both only in tournaments. Both of these guys in their last five games have had a game of 6 points. You cannot cash game these guys, even though they're playing against Derrick Rose and the Bulls. Shooting guards, Jim Butler. I don't imagine they'll push him for a huge amount of minutes. He's at $8,600. I'm not interested in that at $8,600. Justin Holiday at $36. I'm a little bit intrigued. He dropped 21 today. He's had a 26-point game in the last five, so there's some nice numbers for Justin. But it's all going to be what sort of minutes he gets. So if Mike Dunleavy is fully fit and healthy, then I don't imagine Holiday gets enough minutes. Wayne Ellington at $3,700. There's no upside with him. Etuan Moore at $46. Not with everyone back. Sean Kilpatrick at $3,700. He dropped 25 in the last game, so he could be a wild card tournament punt. And Markel Brown not getting it done of late. Small forwards. Nikola Mirotic at $5,100. You're probably going to hate this, but I think that he has to produce here. Who else is going to play the minutes? Felicio? Or does Dougie McDermott play full-time power forward? I think you have to look at Mirotic, and probably not a cash game though, more of a tournament, but you have to look at him. He's got 40-point upside easily. Mike Dunleavy, not when you're sick. Bojan Bogdanovic had a 54 in the last game. If there's any chance that he does that again, I don't know what I'm talking about. There is no chance he goes for 54 again. Bojan's at $4,700. That is too high for me. Dougie McDermott's at 38. I can get behind Dougie McDermott at 38. 25 average across his last three. He's scoring really well. A really big focal point. I think he's going to get high 20s in minutes. I think that he is worth looking at $3,800. Power forwards. Taj won't play with that issue with his hamstring. Just had a question come in here from Jeff Richard Padre. Is Beal a good pickup now? He's better than Cannon or Amini? Yeah, go on, add Beal. I think you have to add him over both of those guys. Depending, if you really need threes, though, Cannon has been basically unstoppable in that category. But overall, Jeff, I would be adding Brad Beal. Power forwards, Bob Portis, $3,800. I think you've got to use him, especially in a tournament. He has to play upwards of 25 minutes, I would expect. Maybe not, but I would think he'd have to get around that mark. Thad Young is going to feast. He's at $7,500. He's already averaging 41 across the last three, and now he plays the Bulls. It is going to be on for him. Love it. Willie Reed, Chris McCullough, Tom Robinson. I all like them because they're playing the Bulls, but they're not going to get enough minutes. At center, this is where it's at. Brookie Lopez, $8,300. Does Brook go for 30 and 15? No, probably not 15. 30 and 10 with four blocks. He has got a legit shot at the monstrous line of the night here, Brook Lopez. He's 8,300. This is the guy when I was talking about Hassan Whiteside earlier. If I'm spending 8,000 on a center, Brookie is the guy. It's a great matchup. He's going to be literally battling against Bob Portis or Mirotic at center. He is going to take them to town. 8,300 for Lopez. I think you have to use him in pretty much all formats. Felizio, he's going to get some extra run. He's at 3,500, but I don't think we need to be too overly concerned with him from fantasy point of view. The Spurs and the Blazers, I get the feeling this could be an absolute smashing from the Spurs, like a 40-pointer. The Blazers have been struggling a little bit lately. The Spurs are annihilating teams as it is. This could get ugly. Tone Parker, 4,700. I won't be using him. 4,200 for Patty Mills. He had a good game in the last one, but had struggled before that. He's a tournament option in case of a blowout. And Dame Lillard at 8,900. This is not the matchup you want to use Dame in, I wouldn't have thought, especially considering he is struggling as well. Shooting guards. Dan Green, 3,900 for Green. Probably not. But all he needs is 20 points, which he is capable of doing. But it's risky. Manu, no. Kevin Martin, no. The Blazers wings. Gerald Henderson at 3,700, not getting it done. 3,500 for Alan Crabb, just not conducive, and it's a shit matchup. CJ McCollum at 6,400, he's not getting it done, and it's a terrible matchup as well. We can lay off him pretty comfortably. The next one, small forwards, Kawhi Leonard, 8,900. It looks appealing, but I am worried that this is a game where he plays 31 or 30 minutes, and it's not going to be ideal. I'll probably go in a different direction to Kawhi here. Al-Farouq Aminu at 4,000. Mo Harkless, they're not worth being too interested in either. Power forwards, Myers Leonard has separated his shoulder again, dislocated shoulder. He is likely done for a couple of weeks at least, I would say. So there's some more minutes in the front court there. Ed Davis at 3,600. You know what? The projections really love him here, but you're obviously just throwing him into a tournament mix. LaMarcus Aldridge, against his former team, he's at 7,900. He's been putting up pretty good numbers. The blowout factor is a risk, but he's a tournament power forward option for sure. Dave West, Noah Vonleh, Boris Diaw, no thanks. Centers. Timmy Duncan, I don't reckon we're going to see a huge amount of him. Mace Plumlee at 4,700. If it was 42, I'd be more interested. Chris Kaman, no. The last game of the night, the Utah Jazz and the Phoenix Suns. Gordon Hayward did not practice, so that's not all that encouraging. He's currently listed as questionable with that plantar fasciitis. He might play. They're obviously still pushing for a playoff spot, so they're going to want to get him out there as much as possible. Shelvin Mack is at 5,500. That salary's jumped huge. But he's playing the Suns. I reckon you got to use him. He's averaging 35 across his last three. He's not great, but it's a great matchup. He's got great minutes. He'll have big usage if Hayward's out. Fine, use him. On the other side, Brandon Knight's still at 6,500. It's not an ideal matchup against the Jazz, but I reckon you can definitely throw him into a tournament and see what happens. Hal Neto, Ronnie Price, and Trey Burke aren't worth discussing. Shooting guards, Devin Booker, 6,600. Horrible matchup. Rod Hood, 5,400. Beautiful matchup. If Gordon Hayward is out, Hood at 5,400 is almost a lock to me to play. Now, Booker is averaging 34 DFS points across the last three, 36 across his last five, but this matchup is just not ideal for him. I think you can use him, but I would much rather spend 1,200 less on Hood, especially if Hayward is out, and I reckon you'll get pretty similar results. Be interesting to see how those two guys match up against each other. They've been quite the topic of debate about who people would prefer. Archie Goodwin, John Jenkins for the Suns are not worth being interested in. And Chris Johnson might get some extra run if Hayward is out, but he's not going to be interesting. The guy who would be interesting is Joe Ingles, who played 37 minutes in the last game. He's at minimum salary. He only had 17 points, but it's a great matchup here. Could he get to 25 if Hayward's out? I reckon he would be a cheeky tournament option, and I'm not just saying that because he was on the podcast. Gordie Hayward at 7,000. If he played, it is a beautiful spot at 7,000. It would be awesome, but we don't know if he's playing. PJ Tucker had 47 points in the last game. He's at 4,500. That's 10x value. It is also not happening again. Despite having a 47-point game, in his last five, he is averaging just 19. You know how bad you have to be to average 19, including one outing of 47? Throw in that it's a shit matchup for him, no chance. Power forwards. Derek Favors, 7,600. I reckon this is an opportunity for a huge game for him, especially if Hayward is out. He should look to get to 40 fantasy points here. Mirza Teletovic was good in the last game, but he has been very unpredictable. Alex Len has definitely reduced his production lately. 7,100 for him, not a great spot against the Jazz. He is a definite fade to me. Centers. Now, I'm going to mark Rudy Gobert as one of my recommended picks. I don't feel good about it, but he's at 6,100. He's had a couple of stinkers in a row. He's playing the Suns. I think that this is it's a perfect tournament punt option. That's why I've got him as a recommended mid-price center. There aren't many out there, but I reckon this is a great spot for Rudy Gobert to go out there and grab 15 boards and block 5 shots and turn in a pretty decent performance. But there is no way that I'm using him in cash games. Tyson Chandler at 4,700, actually really productive lately. He's averaging 29 across his last three, 25 across his last five. And at 4,700, if you're going to go cheap at center, he's probably the best one on the board. As you'll see when I bring up the DFS picks of the day. At point guard, Bronte Weber is at 3,500. It is truly a punt option. Not much cash reliability. Shelvin Mack, 55. Kyle Lowry, 89. Shooting guards, Joshy Rich, 4,200. Lance Stevenson, 56. And Chris Middleton, 8,000. Small forwards, Otto Porter, 45. Nick Mirotic, 51. And Nick Batum, 7,500. Power forwards, Bob Portis, 38. Marv Williams, 59. And Derek Favors, 76. And the centers, Tyson Chandler, 47. Rudy Gobert, 61. And Brookie Lopez, 8,300. We are done today, guys. Podcast was a long one. I talked a lot of shit. I do apologize. Let me know what you think about the questions that I threw out in the last show for the live interaction. I'll try to incorporate more of those if it's something you guys like. Follow me on Twitter at redrock_bball. Basketball Monster is at Bask Monster. And of course, make sure you're checking out Basketball Monster for all your DFS and seasonal information, and Hardwood Paroxysm for great, irreverent, and serious takes on the NBA. There's some great stuff always going up on Hardwood Paroxysm. A great, if you're a fan of NBA history, the Over and Back podcast on Hardwood Paroxysm is doing a multi-podcast series on Bill Russell, and it's got one of the best names I've heard, Russellmania, and a pretty sick logo to go with it as well. So make sure you're checking out what's going on with Rich and the guys at Over and Back on the Hardwood Paroxysm Network. We are done today, guys. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.